Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." I'd like to preach by asking you a question this morning that you might answer by the time we're through. And that is this: are you safe this morning? Is your family safe? Now let's pray and we'll try to answer that question. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us to see the truth from God's word today. Thank you for all who have come to this place, both in the early service and Sunday school, and now in this main service. I pray, Lord, your blessings upon each one that has come. Thank you for the visitors coming our way. It is a blessing to have them with us. And I pray also, Lord, for anyone who may have come here this morning that has not yet trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, it's so important that we be born again, that we be saved. Cannot go to heaven except being saved. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone, man, woman, boy, or girl, that has come this morning that has not yet trusted in Jesus, that they, through the hearing of your word, would come to Christ by faith and be saved. Now, Lord, we quiet our hearts to receive your word this morning. I pray a very important concept will be emblazoned upon our minds and hearts today, that we might not think only in a temporal sense of our safety here, but we might also secure our safety for eternity under the wings of God. Now, Lord, bless us, I pray, as we look into thy word, and we'll thank you for what you might teach us. And then, Lord, help us to resolve in our hearts to be doers of it, not hearers only. For it is in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There is a true account that has been written of a lady by the name of Sarah Winchester. You may recognize the name. She was an heiress to the account of the family that owned Winchester firearms. They had quite a bit of money. I know I own a couple of Winchesters myself, so I guess I'm part of that legacy. But it was said that as others died off and she was the remainder of the family, she was left with a huge mansion. They said in one house alone, there were many houses, but one house alone over 10,000 square feet. It was said of her that she had within that house 2,000 doors that led to nowhere. You see, she was of the mind that because her family made Winchester arms that were used to kill so many people, that the spirits of those dead people would come back and torment and haunt her in this mansion. And so she had carpenters come and build stairways to solid walls and put doors in places so that if someone were to attack her, they would not be able to find her. They would go to different doors and they would not know where she was. Now, as ridiculous as that seems, almost comical for us to think of that, she was very, very afraid because all she really wanted in life was to be safe. She had all that money, she had all that affluence and all that opportunity, and yet the thing that was the throb of her life, her heart throb, was that she be safe in her own home. Some of us here in America have grown to think a little bit like that. Since September 11th, several years ago, we've had this problem of worrying now, some of us, about what's going to happen to us in this country. It didn't used to be that way. We always felt so safe in this country. But then we learned that we were vulnerable, didn't we? We learned that right in the middle of New York City, where we thought nothing could happen, that somebody could hijack an airplane and fly it right into Twin Towers, right in downtown, the middle of the city of New York City. We've learned that terrorists can have access to others, not just those that we read in the newspaper and hear on the newsreels in Israel and in the Near East, but that it could happen right here in America. It could happen outside Washington. It could happen in our hometowns and in our cities. For the last several years, we've been almost fearful to send our children to public school because there have been shootings and killings and still are. Just in the last year or two, You couldn't even get gas at a gas station in Washington, D.C. without fearing for your own life. This is in America. And so I ask you the question this morning, and I start off asking, are you safe? I didn't ask you if you felt safe. I asked you if you are safe. See, there are different levels and different approaches or perspectives on safety. Many of us think if we've got a couple of pit bulls chained to our bedside, we're safe. Just don't get up to get a glass of water in the middle of the night, or you could be in trouble. Some of us feel that if we have firearms in our house, and if we have fences around the outside and electronic detection devices on the outside of our homes, that we're safe. Some of us feel if we have good investments and we take care of everything, make sure we have plenty of money, and that we're safe. But that is not the perspective that Jesus had. Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew 10 and 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." So you can be literally safe, if you will, in a temporal sense, on this earth. I mean, in clothes. I heard of a lady that even had within her home a bank vault kind of an arrangement, a safe place within her own home. You may have read about that, where if an intruder breaks in, she can retreat to that one room, which has a double barred door and special air system on the inside and communications therein and everything, so she can be safe in her own house. Homeland Security tells us if chemical and biological warfare come, that we need to have some plastic to put over the windows and a roll of duct tape. Isn't it amazing that we have men on the moon and fight digitally technological warfare, and without duct tape, we are not safe? It's possible to be that safe in a temporal sense and yet be lost and on our way to a devil's hell. If you're sitting here this morning and your faith and trust is not in Jesus Christ, if you've never been born again, then, my friend, you sit on the bare razor edge of peril. The Bible says in the book of James chapter 4 that our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Literally, this day your life might be required of you, and if you were to die as you are now, separated from God by your sin, you would be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. You are not safe if you are not saved. And yet God did not say that we were to have the spirit of fear. We're not to worry about it. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says that the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God doesn't want us walking around worrying from moment to moment what's going to happen to us, living a persecuted life, despising everything, being critical of everything, cautious of everything, worried all the time. That is not the peace that passeth all understanding, is it? Jesus said you could have nothing on this earth, but if you have me, you have everything. When they try to figure out whether we're safe in a temporal sense, they find out what we do not have. They come and they say, now wait a minute, you don't have double locks on your doors. You need a deadbolt on your door. And you don't have enough outside lighting. You need to add to that. And you need motion detectors. You don't have those. And you need other kinds of devices inside to protect you. You don't have those. And they always tell us what we do not have. And so as we look at this question, are we safe? Is our family safe? Then I think it would be best for us to look at what it is that cannot make us safe. There are some things that we have become trusting in, that we have put our faith in, that cannot and never will make us safe. And so I want to start by looking at some of those, and then we'll come back to our text in just a moment and talk about what real safety is and what it means to be safe. I first of all want you to see that our planning cannot keep us safe. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through 34 if you take a look at that with me for just a moment, don't lose your place in the text. We're coming back. But in Matthew chapter 6, great chapter on trusting in the Lord, by the way, and on priority setting. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, the Bible says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You see, Jesus wanted us to have a perspective to understand that it doesn't really do us all that good to plan if we're putting our faith in our planning. He didn't mean that we were to be disorganized. He didn't mean that we were supposed to not prepare. Surely God says that we are to prepare. But what folly it is for us to be concerned and worry and fretful and spend all of our time brooding over the future and planning and laying things aside and everything else, and then be unsaved and on our way to a devil's hell, because when our life is over on this earth, we can't take any of it with us. Literally in chapter 6 earlier on, he says, lay not thereup for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves break not through and steal. Why? Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God doesn't want us to make an idol out of our plans. And yet think about the hours, the countless hours and hours and months and years that we as God's people spend planning and planning and planning and getting upset because our plans are disturbed. When really God said, what about today? You see, his focus and his perception was different than ours. Our planning cannot keep us safe. Many have said, well, I'll tell you what, when I retire, things are going to be different. We're working hard now, but when we retire, everything's going to work out and we're going to do just fine. And then history shows that they died of a heart attack, or something happened, their marriage broke up after 50 years, and they never did get to enjoy the time they thought they would spend together. So many of us have planned and planned. Maybe you're here today and you said, you know, one of these days I'm going to get saved. I know I need to be saved, but I've got some issues that I need to resolve first. I've got to get rid of some sin in my life, and I've got to straighten out my life. I'd be a hypocrite if I came to God like this. My friend, you don't understand the Word of God. The Word of God says that you don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Amen? You come to God as you are. You come to him and say, be merciful unto me, Lord, I'm a sinner. You can't hide it from God. God already knows what's wrong. You need to come to him as you are. Don't put your faith in your planning. Don't say someday, one day. How about today? It'd be a great day to get saved. It'd be a great day to refocus your life and say, I'm going to live for Christ today. I'm not going to plan about what I'm going to do in the future. A cursory walk through the cemetery will show you that many of our plans don't come to fruit, do they? That college you're going to attend, you may never make it. That new store you're going to open up, you may never make it. That child that you really want to have, but you're waiting until a few more years until you get your degree, you may never have that child. Think about it. Our planning cannot keep us safe. Not only that, but our prosperity cannot keep us safe. Mark chapter 8, 36 and 37 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There's Sarah Winchester, and there's no evidence to show that she was saved or unsaved, but I'd rather think from the actions that she took and the circumstances that she was in that she wasn't saved. Because if she was saved, she would understand that when someone dies, they die. There is a spirit world out there. And yes, it is true that there are demonic spirits and demons that can come and bother a person. But it is also true that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. She had all that money, all that affluence, all that opportunity, and she spent all that time having carpenters build doors for her that led to nowhere. You know what? There's some of us here this morning that are not unlike Sarah Winchester. Truly. We have the wherewithal to kind of do things ourselves. We don't pray and ask God what his will is. We decide what we want, and we put the money on the line and order it done. We have doorways that lead to brick walls too. We say, well, if I can only own these many cars, then I'll be happy. No, you won't. There's just a brick wall behind your door, that's all. Well, if I can get a new wife or a new husband, then I'll be happy. Oh, no. No. That's just another brick wall behind your door, amen? Some of us have a few doors, and we found brick walls behind all of them, amen? No, you see, Christ wants us to interact today, doesn't he? He doesn't want us groping after things. We're kind of like the dog that chases cars. What in the world would he do if he caught it? Think about that. He can't bury it in the backyard. He can't eat it. That's the way our prosperity is. Some of us just give up everything to have money. We rob God. We don't care about the will of God. We just do what we want to do, and we give up everything to have what we want, and then when we get it, we're empty. How many people do you know that you've heard in the public realm that have millions of dollars, billions of dollars, and commit suicide, and involved in drugs and illicit relationships, searching for some meaning in life when they could find it if they had not even a penny in Jesus Christ? And they never will be satisfied until they find him. Amen? Our prosperity cannot keep us safe, and our power cannot keep us safe. Some have said, I don't care about the money angle, it's the power that I want. I've got education because education is power. I want the opportunity to be in charge and to be in control when the tragedy of the Twin Towers happened. We once again turned ourselves to the force and the might of the military. I want you to know that I'm one who believes that we ought to have an army that's ready to fight. I'm thankful for those courageous and self-sacrificing individuals that go to war and fight and lay down their lives for me. I have been thankful throughout my life for those folks. But dear friends, without doing injustice to their sacrifice, may I say to you this morning that power cannot save us. In Proverbs 21 and 31, there's an unusual verse which reads this way, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." You see, if God Almighty is not with us, we're in trouble. That's why I fear for America, and I fear for we as Americans. We are drifting into the category of thinking that power is our educational system, that power is in our industrial complex, that power is in our military might. And truly, we need all of those things to have the great country that we have, but we cannot have them without God. And we have abandoned our God in many cases, and I'm sorry to say that many of we as Christians have abandoned our God except in the religious framework of Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. God is left out of everyday life. He's left out of our circumstances of life. We are not praying as we should. We are not representing God as we should in the marketplace, because our focus is that if we can control things, if we can run things, if we can be the biggest dog in the fight, that we will have safety. But we learned something, didn't we? We learned that with a ballistic missile early warning system, a CIA and an FBI, all kinds of civil defense equipment at every hand, cruise missiles and hydrogen bombs, that a committed person could connive his way onto an airplane and fly right into the downtown airspace of one of our great cities and take the life of thousands of people right under our nose. You see, without God, we are not safe. And that's exactly what this entire message is about. Because you see, our planning cannot keep us safe, and our prosperity cannot keep us safe, and our power cannot keep us safe. There is only one thing that can keep us safe, and that's our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I say that because many call what we call Christianity or salvation nothing more than a religious experience. They come to church and experience the wonderful choir. Wasn't that wonderful this morning? The choir sang so beautifully, and the special singing, wasn't that special? Wasn't that great? But many people call that's the extent. They experience that, and they say, wow. They feel the presence of God, and they think, therefore, because I feel the presence of God, isn't that wonderful? And they treat that experience as all there is. And then they go out and struggle in everyday life. They go out and face the challenges of life, and they falter, and they fall, and they are miserable until the next time they can come and experience vicariously the presence of God. That won't keep you safe. What keeps you safe is when you personally realize that Jesus Christ died for you. Not just the group that you sit in, but you. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Came and died on the cross of Calvary to breach the gap between you and the God who created you. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the shed blood of his cross, the sacrifice paid for you, God will take your sin and put it upon the head of Jesus and take his righteousness and place it to your account. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very last verse, it says, and he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was a sinless, perfect sacrifice. That baby Jesus in Bethlehem's manger was God in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even as of the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. That he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When you and I put our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done on Calvary's cross, then God takes all of our sin, past, present, and to come, and puts them on the cross of Christ, and they are nailed to the cross, and they are covered by the shed blood of Christ, and our forgiveness is complete in him. That's what it takes to be safe. You see, when this life ends, the only thing that is safe is to be in the hands of God. You and I don't go in a grave and rot and deteriorate. Oh, that might be the physical body, but the soul of man that never dies goes somewhere. It either goes to the real present temptation and or torments of hell, or it goes to the blessed presence of the Lord upon death. My friend, once you are in hell, there is no rescue. And once you are in heaven, there is no reciprocation. You are there for eternity. You want to be safe this morning? Then turn to God. Rest in God. Trust in God. You say, I'm already born again. I'm already a Christian. I'm saved. Well, then we need to realize that maybe we need not to put so much emphasis on our planning. Our neighbors and friends might get the idea that salvation is in our plans. We need not to put so much emphasis on prosperity, prosperity. Get rich quick. See how much money we can get. Maybe we ought to spend a little more time praying and witnessing and involved in the work of God instead of always chasing after the dollar bill when we're saved and realize we can't keep a penny of it when we die. Maybe we ought to stop trying to be the biggest and the best and realize that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. That if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, that he will lift us up. And so I ask you this morning, from the perspective of the scripture, are you safe? As you look at your husband and your wife and your children, can you say, yes, I know they're born again. I know their testimonies. I know when they got saved, and I know they're in the hands of God. Doesn't matter who breaks through and steals. Doesn't matter what happens to them in their life. Because the moment that they pass from this life, they pass into the arms of God. That's not only salvation, my friend. That's safety. Let's bow for prayer. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me ask very quickly this morning, I wonder if there's someone here that would say, I am one of those people who has not yet trusted in Jesus Christ. I've heard about him. I'm a religious person. I understand I'm a sinner. I know who he is. I know he is the one and the only Savior, but I have not yet personally put my faith and trust in Christ. And I'd like you to pray for me that God will help me to do that. I need to do that. Now, I'm going to pray in just a moment. Before I do, if you'd like me to pray for you, you say, you don't even know me. I don't need to know you. God knows you from the very fiber of your being. And so I will pray, and God knows. When you raise your hand, God knows who you are. You would say, preacher, pray for me. Here's my hand. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be safe. Pray for me. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now that I might pray for you? God bless you. Is there anyone else? I see your hand in the back. Is there anyone else? Here's my hand. I need to be saved. I need to be safe. My whole family's going to heaven. They're all saved. And they think I am too. But I'm not. I went to a youth meeting and bowed my head and said the words, but in my heart I knew I wasn't really meaning it. And I'm not saved. My wife took the kids to church, and I went along, and I know all the lingo. I know how to dress and act, but down in my heart, I'm fearful because I know if I died today, I wouldn't go to heaven because I'm not saved. Pray for me. Is there somebody else who would join this young man and say, here's my hand. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be safe. Would you slip it up right now that I might pray for you as well? Here's my hand. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Quickly now, anyone, anywhere, here it is. Pray for me. All right, one more thing this morning. I wonder if there's somebody this morning that would say, the priorities of my life, the events of my life, the way things are going, I really need to focus and refocus on the Lord today. I know I am safe in the arms of God. I know that I am saved, but my life has grown to focus on money and focus on my plans and my dreams and focus on things that take me away from God in the way that I live. And this morning I want to rededicate, I want to refocus myself that I will put my trust and my faith in the only one who can keep me safe, and that's Christ. If that's your devoted pledge this morning, would you lift your hand that we might pray for you? God bless you and you and you. Yes, just up and down, please. Anyone else, please, this morning? I want to refocus my life. I'm headed in a direction which some would call good, but it's not godly. Please pray for me. Anyone else before we pray? God bless you. Anyone else? All right. Now, I'm going to pray in just a moment. And dear friend, if you lifted your hand and you said, I'm not safe, if it happened right now, if the Lord came back in a twinkling of an eye right now, I'd be lost forever. If you raised your hand and you said you needed to be saved, I'm going to pray for you. And when I'm through, we're going to stand. Pastor's going to come. And I invite you to come. I invite you to get out from where you are. That's what you really need to do. And come down to the front and let someone take a Bible and very kindly and lovingly show you and review with you what you need to know to be saved. And you have the opportunity this morning to pass from death into life. You have the opportunity once and for all to be safe in the arms of God. And I'm praying that you will in fact do that very thing. Now let's stand together. I'm going to pray. And then you come. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your precious word. I thank you that as a father and as a husband, that I can look down the row of my own family members and know that they're saved, and know that if they were to die, that they would go to heaven. I'm thankful for my wife and for myself, that I know that if I died today, I'd be in heaven. But Lord, I fear for this one that lifted his hand and said he needed to be saved. Lord, he knows he's not safe. And we know it too. And so I pray that you'd help him now to understand the great love of God that loves him and wants him to settle the issue once and for eternity, and have him come and bow and give his heart and life to Christ and be saved. And Lord, for the many that lifted their hand this morning and said that they wanted a new direction, a new perspective, they needed to get back to focusing on the Lord, I pray you'd help them to do that as well. May you be honored and glorified by all that we do, for it's in Christ's dear name that we pray. Amen.